Welcome, welcome, welcome back to a special one last episode, kind of encore to end season one of They Made Their Way to the Ring. As I've tweeted time after time, this journey has been phenomenal. It's a no previous experience, recorded in one take, no fancy equipment, one man band podcast from a small town in the UK, and it's already reached 15 countries worldwide with 110 streams as of this recording. So maybe a season two is possible. I'll leave that one with you. This week, I'm back one last time with one final episode to shut down, to close and lock that door on season one. We've got 10 episodes behind us, recapping some of the greatest careers from the most iconic women in sports entertainment. The top three episodes I've created so far, according to your views and feedback, are She's Not Your Childhood Fantasy, Trish Stratus, Beth Phoenix and the combined Lita and Mickey James episode. Four legends in their own right. Another version of the Four Horsewomen, maybe. Or maybe you'd swap one with Michelle McCool or Melina. Interesting concept, huh? But this week, I bring another legendary character. Known for her hilarious outbursts in the ring, this woman made history as a one-time Divas champion. She was a total diva who captured gold after years away from the ring. She made multiple returns for the Royal Rumble match and was the third member of Team Bella, a big part of the Divas Evolution movement. And as cunning as a... What is it they say? As cunning as a fox. That's right, you know it. One more time, making her way to the ring, Alicia Fox. Victoria Crawford, aka Foxy, a former model, began her developmental work down in OVW, where she would spend the year of 2006-07 making a name for herself and going up against some of today's biggest names in women's wrestling. She debuted in OVW on the July 1st edition, where she would be special guest referee under her name in the match between Shelly Martinez and ODB. Only 2 months went by and Alicia would make her in-ring debut, but she also debuted a name change, becoming Tori. A common name in wrestling, don't you think? OVW was today's NXT developmental brand, the pit stop before hopefully making it onto the big two brands. Alicia would have a number of matches against the likes of Mickey James, Katie Lee Burchill, and more notably Beth Phoenix. Or was it? We reached October and Tori would revert back to her real name and then be known as Crawford. She challenged Beth for the OVW women's title but was unsuccessful after an interference from Serena Deeb. 2 days later though, on October 20th, at a house show, Crawford would win a gauntlet match and the women's title. This reign lasted all of 1 day as the next night Crawford would lose the title back to Beth, a title reign that apparently isn't recognised and Beth's two victories are simply listed as one uninterrupted reign. Interesting, I must check that one out. Crawford would go on to have feuds with Beth Phoenix, Milena Rucker, or as we knew her, Rosa Mendez, and finally Maryse before leaving OVW in July 2007. Alicia's next stop would come at WWE's newest developmental territory, FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling. Alicia's debut would come in September of 2007, where she teamed with Natalya to take on the Bella Twins, which they won. This would set up a feud between the pairs and ultimately see the Bellas take control and beat Alicia match after match, whether it be singles match, tag matches with different partners, or even a mixed tag match. Foxy, you just needed to know when to give it up, girl. Twin magic was coming in strong. Alicia would spend 2007-08 in FCW and would debut her new in-ring name, Alicia Fox, after her debut on Friday Night SmackDown. Now, before I get into SmackDown and one of the most strange debuts for a female talent, I'd say in WWE history, I must say I don't have too much to comment on Alicia's work in OVW or FCW. I have seen some matches, not all of them, but nonetheless, it's hard to argue Alicia is one of the most athletic stars to ever step inside the squared circle. She can deliver a promo, she can make an entrance, and she can certainly go in the ring. She is literally all the things. I think looking back, I can say I'm one of those that have appreciated her work more so now than I ever did before. I think any promotion would have been lucky and will be lucky to have Foxy as part of the roster. Where will she end up next? Being only 36, she's still in her prime. I saw a recent interaction with Melina where the two said they are happy to go to these forbidden doors and break them down. Could we see Alicia in AEW joining forces with the Outcasts? I could see that. Impact following Trinity. The possibilities are endless. Anyway, back on track. My creative mind is wandering. So jumping back to June of 2008, and SmackDown is in the midst of actually thinking about this. This was 15 years ago, and I remember it like it was literally yesterday. I was 16. Where does the time go in wrestling? It literally, it evaporates like water. It's scary. Anyway, June 2008 was centered around the Vicky Guerrero and Edge era. They were back and forth, on and off, and during this period, we're going to be married. Yep, another WWE wedding. But they are entertaining though, right? Yes. Alicia Fox was brought in as their wedding planner. Strange, like I said. For someone so athletic who can deliver such strong character work, I could have thought of much better ways to insert Alicia into the roster. Creative, as we know, sometimes have some odd ideas, but forgetting what I think of it, it worked. Alicia would be seen planning the wedding of the century, but a month down the line be outed by Triple H when she was seen on camera kissing Edge. Dun dun dun! Yeah, this segment didn't lead to much. It got Alicia a moment in the WWE Championship match at the Great American Bash when she attempted to interfere ringside in the match, but Vicky came down to the ring, clotheslined her to the floor, and we thought that was it. But it wasn't. Vicky grabbed the title belt and entered the ring. Alicia then stormed back in, and down they went to the mat in true catfight style. Edge returned to his feet and delivered a spear accidentally to Vicky. Then Triple H took advantage of a shaken Edge and delivered the pedigree for the 1-2-3. And still WWE champion, Triple H. Fox wouldn't be seen on television for the next 3 months, but in November, she resurfaced, this time on ECW as a manager for DJ Gabriel. It wasn't until January of 2009 that Alicia Fox made her in-ring debut on the Third Brand against Katie Lee Burchill, where weeks prior, Fox and Gabriel had been feuding with siblings Paul and Katie Lee. Alicia lost her debut match, but the following week would get a first win in tag team action against the pair. Another notable feud the pair had would be against Tyson Kidd and his wife Natalya in similar fashion. Alicia would lose her one-on-one match where Natalya got the win via submission with the famous sharpshooter, a move that is simply, it's kind of simple, but it's really effective. And still, some 14 to 15 years on, it's still going strong. Alicia's first taste of WrestleMania came the next month, where she'd take part in a 25 Divas Battle Royal at WrestleMania 25, which saw returning in-ring performers such as Sunny, Tori Wilson, Victoria, Joy Giovanni, and Molly Holly. But this was ironically won by the only person in the match who wasn't a diva. Instead, a superstar, dressed as a diva. Santina, but let's not talk about that because still to this day, the outcome doesn't sit well with me. It's a bit of a sore spot. What did you think of the match? Do you think the ending was fair? For me personally, I just hate to see the hard work and talent lose a big opportunity that could elevate their career. I mean, how did Santino benefit from that? Literally nobody did. Anyway, sorry, this was me not talking about that. But yeah, it wasn't good. Come April 2009, WrestleMania was in the rearview mirror, and once again the supplemental draft came knocking. Foxy would be drafted back to SmackDown, where it all began. Alicia had her debut match on WWE Superstars as a heel, where she teamed with Michelle McCool, and they beat the team of Maria and Gail Kim. Fox and McCool would be a team for a few weeks to come in both tag matches and accompanying each other ringside for the respective singles matches, including Michelle's match at the Great American Bash against Melina for the WWE Women's Championship, which she won. This looked to be a dominant duo until Alicia was traded to Raw on June 29th, 2009. I'm still at it, saying my dates backwards. I need to remember I'm English and not American. It wouldn't be until the 13th of July episode of Raw. Got it that time. The 13th of July episode that Alicia would pick up her first win on Raw, where she was involved in a Six Diva Summer Swimsuit Spectacular match. That's a tongue twister. Fox teamed with Maurice and Rosa Mendez, defeating Kelly Kelly, Gail Kim, and Mickie James. From here, Fox had a number of Divas Championship contender matches and an actual title shot at Hell in a Cell, but was unsuccessful thus far. In October, a Divas Battle Royal took place to once again determine the next challenger, well, the next number one contender for the Divas title. Alicia Fox would once more become the net closing in on that pink butterfly. She challenged Melina for the title, but again would be unsuccessful. However, all was not lost for Foxy just yet. Just 2 weeks later, Melina vacated the championship due to injury, so a tournament was set up to decide the new Divas champion. Although Foxy didn't capture the title again, it kept her in the spotlight. The fans appreciated her skills and her in-ring craft, and come June of 2010, Foxy's work would finally pay off. After a series of wins, she would find herself involved in a Fatal 4-Way match at the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view for the Divas Championship. After a number of close calls herself, it would be Eve who would deliver a moonsault to a laid-out Maurice, but Fox would rush the ring, throwing Eve through the ropes, and would pin Maurice for the 3 count, becoming our new Divas Champion, and in the process make history becoming the first African-American Divas Champion. Foxy beat Eve in a rematch after faking an injury and then once more at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. This would lead to Melina's return. Alicia gave a great promo after winning a 6-Diva tag team match on Raw, teaming with Jillian and Tamina, pinning Natalya and her team of Eve and Gail Kim. After the bell, Alicia was surrounded ringside by the Divas involved in the match, where she would go on to gloat how she was the greatest Divas champion of all time and had defeated every single one of them, whether it was in a singles match, tag team match, battle royal, or a fatal four-way. There wasn't a diva on the roster comparable to her. Cue Melina's music, and Foxy's face said it all. She thought Melina would be on the shelf for quite a while, as did the rest of us. Fox tried to escape the ring through the corner of her teammates, but Jillian hadn't forgiven or forgotten the betrayal from Alicia during their battle royal match. She attacked Foxy and fed her to the returning diva. Melina used her matrix move to avoid an incoming attack from Alicia and would lay her out with a screaming leg drop, and Melina claimed, "She's back." Melina would defeat Alicia in a non-title match on Raw and be granted a Divas title match at SummerSlam, which she won, and that would be the end of the gold or pink for Foxy. I would have liked to have seen Fox as a 2-time Divas champ. I enjoyed a short run, but I personally would have enjoyed her as a Raw Women's Champion further down the line also. What would you have liked creative to have had planned for her over the years? Let me know over on Twitter. Speaking of, I ran another poll asking you who was your favourite opponent of Alicia Fox over the years. I offered 8 choices, and they were Mickie James, Melina, Kelly Kelly, Beth Phoenix, Gail Kim, Natalya, Paige, and AJ Lee. And in 3rd place was AJ Lee, 2nd place, Paige, and the 1st place, Mickie James. Interesting. My top 3 would have been 3rd place, Melina. I thought they always had great chemistry and the flexibility could be matched. 2nd place, Beth Phoenix. I always enjoyed a powerhouse versus a smaller competitor. While Alicia couldn't match Beth's power, Beth couldn't match her agility. So, yeah, it was interesting. And 1st place, AJ Lee. It was crazy versus crazy. Unpredictable. It always felt like a who would crack first and bring out the psycho element. The two of them always put on a clinic. Now, I'm going to move to 2011, a very interesting time in WWE. Michelle McCool had gone, Karma had arrived, and the Divas were put on notice. Like I said in a previous podcast, I really remember wanting to see the split gone in the Divas division. No heels, no baby faces, temporarily, of course. But I just wanted to see Karma versus the Divas. I really think they missed a trick there. I literally could have been on the creative team for this one, and I had some killer ideas. But I'm not going to tell you them. You never know. Karma might return, and I could pitch my ideas to management. It could be how I get my foot in the door. Who knows? Alicia had been drafted back to SmackDown and would be defeated by Layla in a singles match after Layla got the win with the layout. Karma's music hit and down the ramp she came, eyes on the prize, Layla. Karma made her way inside the ropes and watched Layla like a lion stalking her prey as she escaped the ring and made her way to the back. Then we saw the first diva show some balls. Foxy came in with a big kick to the back of Karma. She slowly turned round, their eyes met, and Foxy geared herself up to go again, but Karma was too fast. She grabbed her leg, delivered a devastating attack, and devoured her with a finishing move like no other. Foxy did sustain a shoulder injury and was out, but not for long. Later that month, she was back, like a boomerang, teaming with Tamina and Rosa Mendez to take on the new divas on the block, Caitlyn and AJ. Fox seemed lost at this stage. She wasn't presented as a threat anymore, and literally for the next year or more, just seemed to have tag partner after tag partner with no clear direction. She would feud also with the Divas of Doom, Natalya and Beth Phoenix, where we see the face divas, Alicia and Kelly Kelly, humiliated week after week. These random tag matches were the case, really, going forward, and she was more often than not on the losing side. She did enter a tournament to crown the first NXT Women's Champion in 2013, however, she lost to Paige in the semi-finals, and nothing more really exciting happened at this stage for Foxy. In November of 2013, we would see AJ rally up the Divas who weren't involved in the show Total Divas, and as she put it, maybe it was because they weren't pretty enough, or just had a silly accent, Oksana, or all they could do was dance. This would lead to a Total Divas versus True Divas traditional Survivor Series tag team match. The Total Divas won this one, but that was to be expected. They were trying to build the brand, and that they did. Were you Team Total Divas or Team True Divas? I think looking back, I was Team True. I loved seeing, you know, Rosa Mendez get a chance on screen. I liked Summer Rae. Yeah, so I was rooting for the different, the faces we didn't see week in, week out. The Divas who should have had more of a chance. So I was rooting for the True Divas. Alicia would join the hit reality show Total Divas in the later half of season 3, becoming a regular cast member. She had to be one of my favourite additions, and I loved her feud with Cameron, which Rosa Mendez did try to resolve by taking them both away on a girls' trip, and they had Rosa good and proper. If you've somehow not managed to discover Total Divas yet, or you don't know what I'm talking about, for $9.99 a month, which I'm sure a lot of us are paying, you can find them on a certain network. I encourage you to find this moment. If you've already seen it and enjoyed them, then watch again. It's nostalgic now, really, isn't it? 10 years ago already. How? In April 2014, we had the Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship Invitational match where all the Divas took on AJ Lee for the Divas title. I've already covered this match previously. I will say, though, I loved the concept. I've always loved multi-women matches and spots where talent get to showcase what they can do. I think it was the right call to have AJ retain. It was a great match. Foxy played a small part and nobody saw what came the next night on Raw. AJ was dethroned by the NXT Women's Champion and soon-to-be youngest main roster champion in history, ultimately holding two belts at the same time, the UK-born Paige. I bring that up because it would be Fox who would get the chance to feud with Paige, the newly crowned champ. It didn't work in Fox's favour, it was sort of the rookie versus the vet, and in this case, the vet would lose. They had a series of matches on Raw, Superstars and Main Event, and this would set up the crazy Fox we would see on TV. She would lose her temper after her losses, she would taunt people, throwing temper tantrums backstage, in the ring, even at ringside. It was entertaining, and that's the purpose of this spot. She achieved a goal. Later down the line, in 2014, Fox would align herself with Paige and become involved in a heated rivalry with AJ Lee. Fox beat AJ on two occasions in September and October, but it would be Paige who would disband the newly formed team on Raw, the night after Hell in a Cell, where Fox inadvertently cost Paige the title match. This would prompt a traditional 4-on-4 elimination tag team match at the November pay-per-view Survivor Series, with Foxy and Paige being the captain of their respective team. Team Foxy would pick up the win in a clean sweep, and it made for a good match. It delivered what it needed to deliver. It worked. 2015 came around, and it was the biggest movement of all time in the world of women's wrestling, the Women's Evolution. Weeks prior to this, we saw the longest reigning Divas champion, Nikki Bella, her sister Brie Bella, and Alicia Fox running both brands. They literally ran the division. We saw Paige trying to single-handedly take down Team Bella, but was unable to do it alone, and without any backup from the Divas locker room, Stephanie thought it was high time that NXT got involved. This presented opportunity after opportunity for Foxy, and the trio were kept relevant in an ever-changing world of sports entertainment. This storyline just has too many angles for me to go into at this stage. It worked and it was enjoyable, and I will go into it at a later date. Skip into 2016, Lana, one of my favourite divas of all time, was in true character style, up to no good, so to speak. She was a successful manager to husband Rusev, but wanted a taste of success for herself. She took issue with Brie Bella, coming out during her matches and attacking her afterwards. This story was given some time. Interferences from divas came on Raw, SmackDown and Main Event. We saw Lana team with Tamina and Naomi, plus a returning Emma and Lana's longtime rival Summer Rae creating Team Bad and Blonde to take on Team Total Divas, Alicia Fox, Paige, Eva Marie, Brie Bella and Natalya. Once again, I was Team Heel. Seeing Lana compete was everything I needed. This feud would be settled at WrestleMania 32. Unfortunately, on the pre-show, I wasn't really happy about that. I thought it deserved more for the time it got in the ring. The fans were eating, and Lana was the first female to have an in-ring debut at WrestleMania. But it was on a pre-show. But I suppose at least they weren't cut all together. Hopefully, we've moved on from that. From this point on, Fox didn't do too much. She had a managerial run on 205 Live. She had matches against Charlotte Flair on Raw, which she lost. She was part of the Survivor Series match in November. She had a match against the recently debuting Asuka, but lost. Then Fox and the rest of the women's roster entered a feud with the returning Paige and her new stable, Absolution, because we all loved that I'm back moment. Fox suffered an injury not long after, which saw her pulled from the first ever all-women's Royal Rumble match. 6 months passed and Fox returned. She appeared in a backstage segment being welcomed back by Bayley, and this led to a tag match with Dana Brooke versus Bayley and Fox's rival Sasha Banks. The match didn't really get started as a brawl broke up ringside, and in July of 2018, Alicia aligned herself with Alexa Bliss and helped her defeat Natalya, who had the baddest woman on the planet, Ronda Rousey, in her corner. The pair attacked Ronda after the match, and this would set up a match between the baddest woman and Alicia on Raw the following week in the main event. This would mark Foxy's first main event match in her career, but sadly, she lost. Now, I'm not a Ronda stan, I'm not really a fan. That doesn't mean I don't appreciate the work she puts in, the effort she puts in, but on my part, the less said the better, because, yeah, I'll leave it there. The last worthwhile career moment I'll mention at this time was Alicia's part in the first ever all-women's pay-per-view event, Evolution. I mean, WWE, when are you bringing us part two? It's been 5 years. I'm manifesting it daily, believe me. Alicia teamed with Mickie James, a legend in her own right, with an injured Alexa Bliss ringside to take on two Hall of Famers, once sworn enemies, then best friends for this match, now sworn enemies once again, I'm guessing. Hopefully you're watching Raw. Trish Stratus and Lita. Fox and Mickie lost the bout, but it still meant the world to Foxy. She stated, and I quote, "It's the most important match of my career. It was something quite special. I love the idea of another Evolution, past versus present versus future, Hall of Famers, current roster members, and NXT. What do you think?" Alicia participated in 3 Royal Rumble matches. I loved her 2021 appearance, where she won the 24/7 title from R-Truth mid-match, losing it moments later after being eliminated by Mandy Rose. This win made Foxy only the 3rd superstar in WWE history to win a title mid-Royal Rumble match, and that comes after Triple H and Ric Flair. Fox also appeared at last year's Royal Rumble match, entering at the number 21 spot, where she lasted only 6 minutes after a brief reunion with fellow Team Bella members Nikki Bella and Brie Bella, before the elimination came from Nikki. Alicia had a lengthy 17-year career with WWE, a massive accomplishment. She had many roles within the company, and on the 1st of May, just last month, she confirmed via her social media accounts that she and WWE had parted ways. More interestingly though, Foxy just recently had a conversation with fellow veteran, multi-time world champion and legend Melina, and they seemed to suggest or form a plan that might see the pair visit the forbidden corners of the wrestling world and knock down those doors. So a little speed round for you. Who would you like to see Alicia face in Impact or AEW? Three competitors from each brand, go. Mine would be Trinity, Jordynne Grace and Taylor Wilde from Impact, and Jade Cargill, Saraya and Dr. Britt Baker from AEW. I think they could be some interesting matches, but let me know what yours are. Now, to end the episode in true style, Hall of Fame. Do I think Alicia should be inducted? Yes. First African-American Divas Champion, part of the first all-women's pay-per-view, and a 17-year career is enough for me. Her credentials speak for themselves. I think Alicia had set the bar high. She's represented women of culture, she's represented an athletic background, and has worked with some of the best and become one of the best. She had an impressive 794 matches in WWE, 29 of those at pay-per-views, and held two championships. So my answer is, yeah, Alicia Fox deserves to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I also think it's time WWE start inducting two women per year. Do you all agree? I just wanted to also say I'm loving the storyline on Raw at the moment, the past versus present, Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch. It's great to see a strong story that doesn't revolve around a title again. So regardless of our feelings on characters, I do want to say thank you, Trish. And thank you, Lita. Thank you, China, Ivory, Jazz, Molly, Tori, Stacey, Victoria, Candice, Ashley, Melina, Beth, Mickey, Michelle, Layla, Kelly, Gail, Natalia, Maurice, Eve, Brie, Nikki, Alicia, Naomi, Tamina, Paige, Dana, Charlotte, Bailey, Becky, Sasha, everyone. Naming them would be a podcast in itself, because without these women chasing their dreams, we wouldn't be able to live our wrestling reality week in, week out. We wouldn't have this product. So thank you to every woman who stepped through the ropes in every promotion. Keep bringing it, because we're loving it. Thank you all again for tuning in to this special episode, the end of the end for season one of They Made Their Way to the Ring. Catch me over on the socials. Twitter is Slee_Ryan and Facebook Rye Slee. That's RYSLEE. Let me know on Twitter what you'd like to see in season two, because I will be back, hopefully, if it's what you want. If anyone in the wrestling world is listening, DM me. They are always open. I'll be a ring announcer. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. I would even take some bumps. Come on, give me a try. Thank you again for all the positive feedback and interactions, and I'll see you all on the flip. Ding, ding, ding.